the top four U.S. sports, they have an average career tenure of anywhere between 3 and 6 years. And most of those, the median is closer to 3 than the average. So you do get those people that, you know, have stayed in professional sports for 10, 15 years, but a majority of people stay in a professional sport career for a shorter time period than they were in college or high school.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, my special guest is Michael Ekman II. Michael is the founder and wealth manager at Adaptive Wealth Partners in Las Vegas. He has worked in the financial industry since 2011 and serves clients across the country, including investors who are athletes, sports and entertainment professionals, business owners and entrepreneurs. Michael knows personally that finances are the number one stress people have in life, and he has experienced what it is like to struggle with direction and money in life personally. In 2010, he allowed his life to spiral out of control, finding his personal rock bottom after being homeless for 6 months before he turned his life around. This period leads Michael to having a passion for finding solutions to simplify the complexity of money and financial issues in all areas of life for his clients. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. You've got a very interesting personal background. You turned your life around and now you are helping others turn their life around. So would you like to share with us how you got your life turned around and got into the financial services industry?
Yeah, prior to 2010, I had been working at a couple of gyms as a personal trainer. I worked and had some opportunities to train with some professional athletes and started working on really the mental side of training other people and coaching individuals to be better physically. And then I went through some stuff with an ex and my daughter and ended up with my daughter living on the other side of the country. And I really just lost my drive, my reason why. I was young at the time and I let drinking get in the way too much for doing work and took a demotion at work, was just trying to make ends meet, but wasn't able to keep the apartment or housing of any kind. So I ended up living in my car for 6 months. And I had a really good friend at the time that I had brought into the industry and as a trainer. And he sat down with me one day and he's, you know, had that come to Jesus type of meeting that I needed to have and said, hey, you're better than this. You can, you know, turn your life around. I know it's hard. I know you have no idea, you know, how to get there because you're just looking up the mountain trying to figure out how to get there. And you're not moving anywhere because you're just stagnant. So we decided that we were just going to work on one thing a day. And the next day, the first thing was I woke up and shaved. I really looked like a homeless person at that time. I wasn't ready to go to any job interviews or anything like that. And then I started reaching out to some of the people and connections that I'd made over the years. And one of the connections was a recruiter at was Washington Mutual. And then she had gone to Chase when they merged back in 2007, 2008. And she told me that I should be in the financial industry, that I had a mind for it, but I was making good money when we had first started talking about it. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt to work and really didn't have any desire to wear suit and tie and dress clothes and just was immature about it, didn't know anything about it. And so I started doing my research, ended up getting a job as a banker at Chase, got my investment licensing done. About 3 years after joining Chase, I moved to Edward Jones, stayed with Edward Jones for 6 years, building my practice and working on my clients and portfolio management and research-based investing. And then last August, actually, after kind of going through the first half of the year, I decided it was time to go out and start my own practice and be able to serve the clients the way that the clients deserve to be served and not have to force them into the box that the big corporations want clients to be stuck into, because each situation is different. And it was too hard for me to fight against the shape of that box every time a client needed something different. So decided to go out and start Adaptive Wealth Partners. And we've been open now for over 6 months and have plenty of clients to work on. And we're accepting new clients. And it's been a challenge. I mean, building a business in the middle of a pandemic is definitely different when people aren't necessarily going to appointments, aren't going out and visiting with their financial advisor as often as they were before. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge for us to overcome.
Well, thank goodness for Zoom.
Absolutely.
So we can keep in touch from where anywhere as long as you've got the internet connection, hey? So you've learned a lot in your short life. What is the number one lesson that has influenced your life, do you believe?
For me, it was learning that you don't have to know where you're going to end up at the end of your journey. You can just live to enjoy the journey along the way and do the best that you can. I'm a really big believer that if people knew a better way to be as husbands, fathers, you know, business owners, businessmen, bosses, they do it that way. And so that's been kind of the theory of mine, is that I do the best work that I can and I do work to improve myself each day. So that lesson of just continual growth over my lifetime has been vital to my success, just in life in general and getting it turned around.
So you work with a lot of different investors. So you've been in the business long enough to see mistakes that they may be making. Can you share what you believe is what the biggest mistakes or that they make?
Yeah, there's really three mistakes that would stand out to me that a lot of investors make. And the first one is just not having the appropriate amount of cash in their emergency fund bucket. If anything taught us that emergency funds were important, last year definitely did. I'd kind of been fighting that with clients over the last 8-9 years. And they're like, I don't need emergency cash. It's not earning much interest. You know, it's not earning 15% interest or 10% interest anymore. What's the purpose of us having this emergency cash? Well, last year showed us, right? You never know when something's going to happen. Like, you know, need new tires on the car, or you have a car accident, or you need a new hot water heater. Something comes up in life where you need some extra emergency cash. And that stress-free option of knowing that you have the money to pay for those items makes life a little bit easier to go through those hard times. The second thing that we notice that, or second mistake that we see investors making, is really that they aren't in a position to take advantage of opportunities. And no matter what situation the market's in, no matter what situation you're in financially, you can always find a way to find that opportunity. Sometimes that's something that you have to go out and learn about. Sometimes that's getting a recommendation from a financial advisor, talking with anyone that's on your money team, but really just being open to finding the opportunity and seeing the positivity and stuff. There's market's going to move up, down, or sideways one day or to the next, and you got to find an opportunity. Doesn't mean you have to make changes every day, but you got to look for those opportunities when you have them available and be ready to take advantage of them. The third mistake that we see investors make is that they really don't understand that the media's influence on them and reaching their investment goals is really a negative thing. And back in, you know, looking at the early 90s into early 2000s, you saw the media sitting there and saying, hey, we're going to put as much negative news out here so that people watch it. There was research that they did on that. And you're more likely to pay attention to negative news. Well, the media is there to drive ratings. They're not there to give you investment advice. So that's something that we see a lot of clients struggle with, is not only do they have that tendency to say, oh, the market's going to crash. I think last time I heard the market was going to crash was probably 3 months ago. and the market was crashing that day, according to Yahoo Finance, and the market was down like half a percentage point. And so it's normal for the market to move. It's normal for investments to go up and down. Just like businesses and houses change in value, your investments are going to change over time. So you have to be understanding that when you work with a financial advisor, a lot of times you're only sitting with that person or talking to them for 4 to 8 hours a year. A lot of times our clients watch more news than that in a day or even a week. So you're really fighting that mistake of feeling like you need to do something just because the media is out there saying that the market's doing something, whether it's going up or down, you feel like you want to participate in it. And so those are those three solid mistakes that we see a lot of investors making. And we work with our clients to start building out a strategy that really brings a plan together for them to avoid making those mistakes down the road.
Yeah. So you talked about when you start working with your clients, when is the best time for anyone, an athlete or anyone else, to start working with their financial advisor?
So I think there's different levels to working. A lot of people are in this situation where they might not have built wealth yet, right? And building wealth is difficult. It's not an easy thing. So some people might never achieve that level of wealth that they kind of dream about or that they are looking at setting as a goal for themselves. So we have to pull that back a little bit and really set clear goals to begin with, but they have to be realistic. Sometimes that situation with the new client is just learning to start saving, right? If you're not saving, you're not taking care of your bills, you're not managing those types of expenses, you're not going to be in a position to invest. So we want to start with a strong foundation. I'm a big fan of the earlier, the better. I wish I had learned about money when I was junior high school, when I had gotten my first job. Finances for my generation were very not talked about by anyone. If I had asked my parents, you know, what's the bills like? You know, how much money do we have? I wouldn't even have known to ask those questions. But if I had, I probably would have gotten the, well, it's none of your business. It's, you know, personal. It doesn't matter. We've got it covered. But I view it as an opportunity for younger clients to start working on savings. I've got an 11-year-old client that we sit down twice a year and we have a conversation about his investments and about why we're investing money certain ways and how he's doing on savings. And he'll call me, you know, after his birthday and holidays and, you know, be like, I saved some money that, you know, I didn't have before. Can I put it into my account? It's awesome because I know he's going to be on strong financial foundations going forward. I think the biggest struggle is that finances are uncomfortable, right? So a lot of times you have someone that maybe has some extra money or doesn't know how to invest in their 401k, and they don't know that that's stuff that financial advisors can help you with. So a lot of it is just opening that up to people. I'd say it never hurts to have a conversation. If you don't like what the first person says, talk to another person. And it's a personalized service. So at some point, you're going to find the right connection where you're going to work well with someone else that's an advisor, and that advisor is going to give you the right kind of advice to be successful in life. So I think that you never stop searching for that advisor that's doing a good job and giving you the right level of service that you're looking for. But I always say it's never too early to start.
Yeah, it's interesting that you also work with professionals, athletes. It's would be a bit tricky, I suppose, because they don't know what their long-term earning capacity is. They might be making a lot of money in their early days, but there's no guarantee that that will continue. So they could be earning the bulk of their money while they're young.
Yeah, absolutely. The top four U.S. sports, they have an average career tenure of anywhere between 3 and 6 years. And most of those, the median is closer to 3 than the average. So you do get those people that, you know, have stayed in professional sports for 10, 15 years, but a majority of people stay in a professional sport career for a shorter time period than they were in college or high school. The struggle is that they've built wealth, or they're getting paid well, but the cost of their expenses goes up. They don't really develop enough time to go out and build the skills themselves to manage finances really, really well. It takes them time to do that. And it takes ups and downs. And shoot, we know that in a 4-year cycle, on average, going back the last 70 years, you're going to see 3 years that are up and one that's down. Well, if you've just invested for 3 years and you're leaving your sport or any career or job, you've missed out on that down cycle to where all of a sudden you leave and you don't know what to do with your money. And let's face it, a lot of those athletes are living beyond their means and they haven't just basically developed the skills that they need to be successful financially. So it takes time. It takes some extra understanding of their situation. I mean, it's definitely a different conversation when you're dealing with an athlete on how do we spend your money? Some of them don't want anything to do with it. They just want to, you know, check every month, we pay the bills. Others are sitting in a situation where they're really intent on learning about it so that they can be in a better place financially when they're ready to leave the league. A lot of them are in between those two. They want to know, but they've got distractions out there like work and, you know, family life. And they've worked for a lot of times more than a decade to get where they are. And then all of a sudden, one day it's over. So it's really building that foundation and setting them up for success with quality income investments that will help them out down the road with a cash flow need.
Yes. So in the end, it's all about creating a cash flow for ourselves when we need it, isn't it? So how many of them want to know about building significant wealth? The ones that do, what should they know? What's the most important thing to know?
I mean, for us, the most important thing is that you need to really save until it hurts. And that's a phrase that we use oftentimes, and athletes or anyone that's been, you know, even if you're not a professional athlete, you kind of know that training until it hurts mentality, right? And you need to be able to really focus on that and put money away and set a foundation for this is what you're going to spend. And you're not going to go outside of that, no matter what kind of opportunity you have in your life to have a great experience. You're risking the future by spending today. So you've really got to be aware of that and work on putting together a savings plan, being really disciplined, just like they are on the field with their finances, and be able to sit down and say, hey, what's the most important? What's their why? I mean, if someone just wants to have a good time, well, there is a professional athlete or in a high paying job, that doesn't always last. I'm a perfect example of that. I made really good money when I was in my early 20s, mid 20s, 2007, 2008 happened. Jobs were hard to come by. And we see this cycle, you know, every 10 years roughly. And we want to make sure that people understand that, to build as much as possible in the moment that you're in, and be able to enjoy the life tomorrow, but at the same time, understand what you're sacrificing for today.
Yeah, it's interesting. None of us know what's going to happen in our future. And I know athletes get injured all the time, so they don't know what's going to happen in their future either. What do you say to people who aren't ready to work with a financial professional?
So a lot of times with people that, you know, maybe they haven't found the right advisor, they're just not in a position where they have a true need to work with investment advice, we'll start them off on financial planning. We'll start working on, hey, let's look at what you actually spend each month on your expenses, not just what you're going to write down and tell me, because a lot of times we underemphasize what we're spending and overemphasize what we're making. So that's a normal thing for people to be in that situation. But it's really about starting that foundation and being able to build from there. And my job along the way is really to do the research for my clients so that when something's coming up, like recently we started hearing about, you know, interest rates going up, inflation, things like that, I go out and do the research for our clients and we have that conversation about what the results are. And we find that it's very inviting for a client to understand, instead of their financial advisor sitting down and saying, hey, I think you should do this with the portfolio or with your investments. The research shows us what we should do. And this is what we're going to do. We're always going to follow the research and we're going to be willing to share that research with our clients. Because I am a firm believer that if I share all the research with a client, they're going to be in a better position mentally and financially going forward. So really just finding that opportunity. And for those that aren't ready to work with a financial advisor, the world is literally at our fingertips. I mean, I joke with my friends because we are kind of the last generation that we got to tell the teachers, well, one day we might have calculators on our phone or something like that. It wasn't even available at that point, but the next generation has that. And so, I mean, I have clients that go on YouTube and learn about investing or, you know, look up some of our work that we do on our website. And it's all about educating yourself and finding where your comfort level is. And the big thing that I kind of take from those that aren't ready is that they have to be able to play the investment game within themselves, right? Don't go out there and think that you're going to know everything. I don't even know everything. No one in this world knows everything. So you've got to be in a situation where you work within your means. And sometimes that's working with a financial advisor. Sometimes that's just going to a financial advisor every couple months to say, hey, give me more information. Show me a little bit more. Or it could even be on the internet. I mean, there's tons of opportunities. There's books out there that you can read on investing. And it's important to get as much education on the matter and not invest in something that you don't understand.
Okay. Before we finish up, I can't help myself. I have to ask about trading. What is the difference in your mind? How many people do you come across that they think they're investing, but they're trading?
I mean, it happens a lot of times. I mean, we just went through I probably see it a big trading where everyone wants to be a trader and do day trading probably once a year in a big cycle. The last one was the whole GameStop situation where, you know, people are day trading the heck out of that. And I have this viewpoint on our investments that there's a specific difference between being a trader and being an investor. And we've had multiple trade wars here in the US. I mean, the first one was over tea. Most people know it as the Boston Tea Party. Mm-hmm. And that was a trade war about taxes. And oftentimes the only people in a trade war or day traders that get hurt are the traders. So it's important, like I said before, to work within what you understand and what you're capable of knowing about for the investments. I mean, just the other day, I was going through a parking lot and I saw a sign taped to the light pole that said, you know, looking for day traders, call this number to start working with us. And I was like, okay, we're at that point in the cycle where people forget that the markets come down. In last year, we were sitting around this time at 30% down in the market. And it's pretty similar to what happens every couple of years, but we see people forget about that. Right? You have that fear and greed. So we really want people to be investors. So if you're thinking about investing in a business or real estate, I think stocks have turned into this thing where you're going to hold it for a shorter period of time. But my most wealthy clients have held stocks for years, right? They buy quality investments to begin with. They understand rising income investments. And we help teach them more and more about that. But at the same time, we're continuing to manage that stock portfolio because just because a company comes down in value doesn't mean it's a bad company. Sometimes it's an opportunity to buy a quality company at a little bit lower price, just like you would have with housing or a business if you got a good deal on that. Mm. So you have to understand the difference between trading and investing. Investors tend to work out well in the long term, and I always find opportunities. Where traders are just looking for the quick turnaround. And let's face it, most times the traders are the ones that get hurt.
Mm. And before we finish up, these days, is a balanced portfolio considered to have investments that are from different types of asset classes? So I know that interest rates are dismal and have been for a while. So are people being educated into other types of asset classes, say like gold or even these days, the new cryptocurrencies?
It's definitely something where education is important. People are searching for income. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I think my last client in 2018, 2017, probably, had came to me and she's like, I just cashed out my last CD. I'm like, what kind of interest rate was it? And she's like, I did a 10-year CD back in 2007 and I got like 8% on it. And that's just unreal. Like, we can't even comprehend that for a lot of advisors nowadays. It's just not there. But you can always look back at history, right? And you look back at that time period. And when I do the research on inflation and rising interest rates, I really focus on the 1976 to 1981 period. And now in interest rates, when we talk about that, in 1976, the one-year treasury ranged from 5 to 6%. By 1981, that one-year treasury was between 16 and 17%. Now, inflation during that time went from 5.7% up to 14.7%. So I know that if interest rates and inflation goes up, bonds tend to not do well. And when I had done the research on it, I was curious as to really what bonds had done, a high quality bond portfolio during that time. So I took a high quality bond portfolio. I invested $100,000 in it in January 2nd of 1976. Took the dividends in cash because that's what people and clients live on, right? The payment that comes out of investments every month or every quarter. And we kept in the capital gains as reinvestments. Well, when interest rates had gone straight up, that $100,000 by December 31st of 1981 was only worth $76,000. So it's important to understand that a lot of times the bonds can still hurt you, right? For years, that's kind of been that safe, stable place in the market where you earn a little bit of interest. But people have forgotten. You have to go all the way back to 76 to really see when bonds were really hurting people, when interest rates were going up, when inflation was going up. And if you look at the Dow Jones between that same period, the Dow Jones spent more times under 1,000 points than it did over 1,000 points. And in 1972, the Dow closed for the first time over 1,000 points. And in 1981, we saw a high of 1,024 points on the Dow. But by the end of 81, it was back down to 875. So you got to remember that in that period of inflation, the market went nowhere. Heck, it really did even go down. And so that's just a reminder of where we need to be at for what's going on now. And if you look at some of those high quality rising income investments, right, there's a very specific type of investment that passes our 2000 asset test that works really well in that similar time period. If you'd invested $100,000 in that portfolio in the same time frame, then by the end of that 1981 year, 6 years later, you would have ended up with $160,000 value. The great thing for clients is that when you look at the dividends, that income paycheck that comes off of them, that dividend would more than have doubled in that same time period. So it's important to understand that with interest rates starting to inch up, with talks about inflation going on everywhere around the world, right? Governments have been spending a lot of money, taxes are potentially going up. When you do the research on those two topics, interest rates and inflation, the research shows, and it's very clear that that specific type of investment, high quality rising income, does relatively well in those circumstances. So I always have clients that we really focus on what's the question to ask. And for us, the question that you want to ask yourself is what percentage of my portfolio is designed to provide me with a rising income investment?
Thank you. So in other words, have a financial advisor.
That's the goal, but you got to find the right one for you. I mean, there's clients out there that I've had personally had some clients that came to me. We worked together for a little while and it just wasn't the right fit. And we both knew that they didn't want to take the advice. Like my advice works for the clients that we have and works for the people that we work with that listen, that want to understand putting money on the sidelines for emergency funds, put their investments through that 2000 asset test to stress test them against what's happened over the last 20 years. And then we also keep some money on the sidelines for opportunities. So we call that our extra spare tire fund. And you never know when the market's going to have a blowout, but sometimes it's nice to have an extra tire on hand when you need it.
That's a wonderful analogy. And to finish up then, how do people get in touch with you, Michael?
Yeah, so they can simply call our office. The phone number is 702-840-2501. or you can send us an email at michael.ekman, E-A-K-M-A-N, at adaptivewealthpartners.com.
And do you work with people from outside of your country?
So I generally don't. I have a few clients that are international clients, but most of our clients are here in the U.S. They've all started in the U.S. They may just be traveling or living in other countries for a period of time, and they come back every once in a while. But for the most part, our clients are here in the U.S. But the idea behind building investments and building wealth, that's something that can be applied no matter where you're at in this world. It's all about building that foundation and starting to grow going forward.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. I'm your host, Annie Nelson, and today we have had Michael Ekman, and he's the wealth manager at Adaptive Wealth Partners. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.